And I say it ain't far to this land from where we are. Take my hand, come with me, where the children are free. Come with me, take my hand, and we'll live
in a land where the river runs free. Shining sea,
and you and me are free to be, you and me.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Princess Tamalpa, and this is Aunt Sally's Story Shop. Shh! We have to be real quiet because it's Skedaddle's birthday. Aunt Sally's in the kitchen preparing a special surprise breakfast, and he's due any minute.
Good morning, Princess Tamalpa.
Hey, where's Aunt Lally?
I mean Aunt Sally.
Oh, she's around.
Look at the pretty table. It's got flowers and napkins and a pretty tablecloth.
Hey, it looks like a party.
That's right, Skedaddle. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
Why don't we all sit down and listen to these announcements? Then I'll bring in the food.
Did you know it was my birthday, Aunt Sally?
Oh, I have my ways.
Did Princess Tamalpa tell you?
No.
Did my mom?
No.
Did you tell her, Tulip?
No.
Then who did?
Well, I have a friend who was a sorcerer's apprentice, and he knows many things. In fact, our first story this morning is The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Once upon a time, a strange-looking man was seen walking to town. He asked the people along the way if they knew of anyone interested in working for him, but most people were so frightened by his odd appearance they quickly ran away. As he came to the gates of the town, he met a boy who was carrying a pack over his shoulder.
Good morning, lad. I'm looking for an apprentice. Do you have a job?
No, sir. Just this morning, I left home to seek my fortune.
Good. Come work for me. But wait, do you know how to read and write?
Sure.
Too bad. I can't use you after all. I need an apprentice who can't read or write.
Excuse me, sir. Did you say read or and write? Then I misunderstood you. I thought you asked if I knew how to eat and fight. Those two things I do very well. As for reading and writing, I am afraid I know nothing.
Well, clear out your ears, boy, and you can work for me. Come on.
This smells fishy to me. In fact, he smells fishy. Phew. Why wouldn't he want me to know how to read or write? Luckily, I fooled him into thinking I couldn't. There's something strange here. I wonder where his shop is. He's leading me into the deepest, darkest part of this forest. Is he a woodcutter? No, woodcutters don't usually wear shiny black capes.
Hurry up, boy, you dawdle!
Ah, we're coming to a clearing at last. There's a large stone house with crows on the roof. What a spooky place.
Here we are. Come, I'll show you what I want you to do.
Ugh! Something's burning in here. Old cabbage or something.
Nonsense, boy. Haven't you ever smelled stew before?
Yes, but...
Never mind. Don't bother me with your sniveling. Now listen carefully. You must do just what I tell you to do in exactly the way I tell you to do it. Are your ears clean, boy? Did you hear me?
Yes, sir. I must do what you tell me to do in exactly the way you tell me to do it.
Good boy. You'll do. You'll do.
As soon as the boy stepped into the house, he knew it was no ordinary workshop. At one end of a big room was a huge fireplace with a copper cauldron hanging in it with green steam coming from it. At the other end was a small study with a desk and bookcase full of large, dusty books. In the middle of the room was the work table, strewn with bottles, sieves, measuring cups and scales, oddly shaped glassware, and a mortar and pestle. Above this table, hanging from a wire, was a large shark, sharp teeth grinning at the boy, and eyes strangely shining.
Why would anyone want an old dead fish over his work table? Now I know why it smells fishy in here. Look at all this equipment. I bet he's a magician or sorcerer.
Come here, boy. I want you to put your pack there by the desk and start stirring that pot on the fire.
Yes, sir. Oh, I've never smelled anything so awful.
I hope he's kidding about this big stew. I'd hate to be impolite, but I could never eat this.
If this man is a sorcerer, I must be very careful not to anger him. I'll appear a fool, but keep my eyes and ears open. Sorcery is a trade which I would like to master. Mouthful of good chants and charms would not hurt a poor fellow like me. In fact, I might even be able to do some good in this world.
There were many things the boy had to do.
How's that stew, boy?
Fine, sir.
Grind these herbs and berries.
Yes, sir.
Sweep the shop.
Yes, sir.
Hit up that fire, boy. I'm cold.
Yes, sir.
Go into the woods and bring me 2 lizard tails, the head of a bat, roots of nightshade, and 3 toadstools with the toads still on them.
Yes, sir.
This continued for 3 months. All the while, the boy's curiosity grew. He especially wanted to know what information lay in the dusty books in the study. Oh, how often, as he dusted them, was he tempted to peek between their covers. Alas, the wary eye of the sorcerer watched him like a hawk, particularly when he dusted the books. So the boy went on pretending he knew neither how to read nor how to write. One night, the boy could wait no longer. He arose from his straw bed.
I must find out what is in those books. The sorcerer lies sleeping. I know he is a very sound sleeper. I'll take my candle into the study. There, the light does not reach his bedchamber. I know exactly the magic book I want. Yes, this is it. Yes, Magic Tricks and Recipes, Volume 1. Ah, let's see. Table of contents. This one sounds interesting. Page 16.
Reading secretly for an hour or two each night, the boy learned chants, charms, and counter charms. He learned recipes for philters and potions, for broths and stews and witches' brews, some of which he suspected he'd been eating for dinner. He learned mystic signs and helpful spells of many kinds. After the boy memorized the recipes, formulas, chants, and charms, he was able to figure out what kind of magician he was working for. And alas, it was a wicked one. All the potions, stews, and brews were for cruel, evil purposes. His master was indeed a dangerous person, a threat to all the good people in the town.
I must stop this man, but I need a plan.
Boy, what's happened to the morning fire?
Yes, sir, right away, sir.
I must go out today. Got to gather some more nightshade and toadstools. That's it, build up the fire and get that pot cooking. I'll take some of that brew before I go. What will you do while I'm away, boy? I've never left you before.
His eyes pierce into my soul. Does he suspect I've been into his books? I shall sweep the shop, wash the glassware, sir. Once I'm done, the fire will need tending, and the berries from last night's picking and crushing.
Good boy. See you do all that before I return.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, sir.
Drat it, boy. Haven't I told you never to say goodbye to me? It means God be with you, and I have no need for that.
Yes, sir. Well, God be with me today, for I'll lose courage without him. Is that evil man gone? Yes, down the paths. I see his black cape disappearing into the forest. Now for some practice. Come here, kitty. Sit by the fire. Mumble, jumble, jiggity, gee. Cat, cat, become a bee. I did it! Mumble jumble jiggity jack. Change yourself back into a cat. How about that? What else can I do? Ah, the fire polka. Sassafras, Bruin Big. Change this poker into a snake. Yipe! Sassafras, Bruin Big. Get me a poker from the snake. Hey, it didn't work. Where's this book? Get away, snake. Where's this book? Here it is. Away with you. Sassafras, Bruin Big. Change the snake into a shoe. Oh, and that'll just have to do. Phew. Well, so now I have an old shoe and no poker. I'll have to watch what I do here. Too many mistakes, and the sorcerer will wonder what's going on. Speaking of the sorcerer, I have a lot of work to do before he gets back. Hey, that broom in the corner gives me an idea. Arise, broom, hear my call. Become an imp and sweep this hall. Ah, look how it stands on its bristles. And it dances about, sweeping all the dirt right out the door. I'm not a sorcerer yet, but at least my work will be easier after today. That's for sure.
After that, the boy practiced his magic whenever the sorcerer went out. His master would return, cackling over the harm and havoc he had caused, the tricks he had played on children, and the destruction he had rained on adults. Each time the boy heard what the sorcerer had done, he studied harder. Sometime soon he would stop the evil man, but he'd have to know more magic before he could. One day the sorcerer went out to gather odds and ends in the woods.
Sweep this room while I'm gone, boy.
Yes, sir. Again, he disappears into the woods. Arise, broom, hear my call. Become an imp and sweep this hall. Huh. Now I'll just settle down with one of these books.
Hells, bells, and panther tracks. I forgot the list of what I need to gather. I must return. What? This? Through the window I see a broom sweeping by itself, and the boy reading my books. So he can read. Little devil, doubtless he knows too much already. If I merely send him away, he'll reveal all my secrets. He shall not escape. You little vermin, how dare you look into my secret books?
Master, you're back so soon.
Not soon enough, I see. Get away, broom. Come here, you wretched boy.
I think I need to water the garden or maybe gather some herbs or...
Stop, Toad. You can't escape from me.
Let go, let go. Meeny, miny, red bear, Blarrow, change me quickly into a sparrow.
So you do know my secrets. Well, you can't fly away from me, Featherbrain. Roars of lions, chickens squawk. Change this sorcerer into a hawk.
Speed of light and force of wish. Change me now into a fish.
Hiding under a minnow's scales won't save you from me, the mighty sorcerer. I'll simply change into a larger fish and eat you. Swish, swish, larger fish.
Winds of water, dewdrops kiss. Change me into the mightiest fish.
Zounds, what's blocking the sun? I can't see that little slug of a boy. That large shadow over me, it's a giant fish with a mouth like a deep, dark cave. Time to leave this watery place. In fact, I'm giving up this race. Cobblestones on the village street. Between you I roll as a kernel of wheat. Ha, he'll never get me here. He won't even see me.
Oh, I sure frightened him, but he mustn't get away. Tails from pigs, horns of a cow. From fish to rooster, change me now. With sharp rooster's eyes, and I look and see between the stones a snack for me. Kernel of wheat gone from the street.
And that was the end of the wicked sorcerer. The boy changed back to his own shape and returned to the workshop, where he grew in wisdom and knowledge. He vowed to use his magic only for good, and as far as I know, that's just what he did.
Hey, that was neat!
Yeah, I like the way they changed into animals.
If you could change into an animal, what would you become?
I'd be a beautiful swan.
Well, I'd be a bear.
Gosh, you'd be scary, Skedaddle. But I know a story about a bear who was very gentle.
You do?
I sure do. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah!
Okay, but first, let's listen to these messages from our sponsors. This is the story about Snow White and Rose Red. On the edge of a village, very long ago, there lived a poor widow woman along with her two daughters, Snow White and Rose Red. A garden surrounded the cottage, and in it stood two rose trees, one of which grew white roses and the other red ones. The two girls were like the two rose trees, which is why the mother named them Snow White and Rose Red, and they were as lively and cheerful as young puppies. But the children were different from one another, too. While Rose Red loved to race about in the meadow and fields, chasing butterflies and searching for flowers, Snow White was more content to stay at home with her mother, where she helped with housework, and Red when there was no more work to do. The sisters loved each other dearly, and always held one another's hand when they went out together. In fact, when Snow White said,
"We'll never leave each other,"
then Rose Red answered,
"Never so long as we live."
Then their mother would add,
"What one has, she must share with the other."
Sometimes Snow White would join Rose Red, and they'd explore the nearby forest together, gathering red berries and nuts. They were so good-natured and innocent that no beasts harmed them. Instead, the animals crept close and sniffed at their legs and toes. A little rabbit ate a cabbage leaf right out of their hands, while a family of deer grazed by their side and the birds sang loudly from the trees. In the summer, Rose Red would pick flowers before her mother awakened and place them on the table by her bed so she'd see them as soon as she awakened. In the winter, Snow White lit the fire and hung the kettle from the hook above it. So brightly was the kettle polished that the flames were reflected in the pot as the water inside bubbled and simmered. In the evening, when the snowflakes fell, the mother said,
"Snow White, please go and bolt the door. Then we can all sit around the fire, and I'll read you a story."
The mother put on her glasses and began to read aloud out of a large book. The two sisters sat silently and listened. Close by, a lamb slumbered on the floor, head resting on his front paws, and a white dove sat on her perch with her head hidden beneath her wings. Suddenly, there was a knocking sound at the door. The mother said,
"Quickly, Rose Red, open the door. It must be a traveler seeking shelter."
Rose Red jumped up, ran to the door, and pushed back the bolt. But instead of the visitor being a traveler seeking shelter, it was a bear who stuck his broad black head inside the doorway. Rose Red screamed and sprang back inside the room. The lamb bleated, the dove fluttered, and Snow White hid herself behind her mother's bed. But the bear began to speak.
"Wait, don't be afraid. I won't harm you. Look at me. I'm half frozen and only want to warm myself by your fire."
"Why, you poor bear. Come on in and lie down by the fire. But be careful not to burn your fur. Snow White, Rose Red, come out now. The bear won't harm you. He means well."
So both sisters crept out of their hiding places, and then the lamb and dove came nearer too, and none were afraid of the bear.
"Here, children, knock the snow out of my fur."
So the girls brought the broom and swept the bear's hide clean. Then he stretched himself by the fire and growled contentedly and fell asleep. It wasn't long before they were relaxed with one another. The girls played tricks on their guest, tugging his hair and placing their feet on his back and rolling him about. They even took a tree branch and tickled him, and when the bear growled, they all laughed.
But when the sisters got too rough, the bear called out,
"Leave me alone, children! Snow White, Rose Red, will you beat your wooer dead?"
No one wondered at his statement, and when the children had gone to bed, the mother said to the bear,
"You can stay here by the hearth, where you'll be safe from the cold and bad weather for the night."
As soon as day dawned, the two girls let out the bear, and he trotted across the snow into the forest. But every evening he came at the same time, laid down by the fire, and let the children amuse themselves as they liked. And they got so used to him that the doors were never locked until their black, furry friend had arrived. When spring had come, and the trees and grass were green, the bear said one morning to Snow White,
"I must go away now, and I can't come back all summer."
"Where are you going, dear bear?"
"I must enter the forest and guard my treasures from the wicked dwarves. In winter, when the earth is frozen hard, they have to stay underground because they can't work their way through. But in the spring, when the sun has warmed and thawed the earth, they break through and come out to pry and steal. Once they get their hands on something, it's gone into their caves for good."
"Oh, dear, must you go? We'll miss you so much."
"Yes, I must go, but I'll return one day."
Snow White unbolted the door for the bear, and as he hurried out, he caught his coat on the bolt, and a piece of his fur was torn off.
"Oh, my! I'm sure I saw gold where the fur was torn off. But I must be imagining things."
The bear ran away and soon was out of sight behind the trees. A short time later, the mother sent her daughters into the forest to gather firewood. While there, they found a big tree that had been felled. Near the trunk, someone was jumping back and forth in the grass, but they couldn't make out who it was. Then, as they crept nearer, they saw a dwarf. He had an old, withered face like dried apples and a snow-white beard that dangled down around his feet. The end of the beard was caught under the felled tree. The dwarf glared at the girls with his bloodshot eyes and cried out,
"You dupes! Why just stand there? Can't you help me?"
"What are you up to, little man?"
"You stupid goose! I was going to split the tree so I could have some wood for cooking, but I didn't get out of the way in time and my beard got caught. Oh, woe is me! My beautiful white beard is trapped and I can't get away. And there you two silly things stand laughing. Oh, how horrible you are!"
Though the dwarf was abusive, the girls couldn't stand to see him stuck there. They tugged and pulled, but the beard wouldn't come out. It was stuck fast.
"I'll run back to the village and get someone to help us."
"You senseless goose! Why should you get someone else? You two are already too many for me. Can't you think of something better?"
"Now don't be so impatient. I'll help you."
Snow White pulled her scissors out of her pocket and snipped off the end of the beard. Though he was free, the dwarf grumbled and cursed as he grabbed hold of a bag full of gold that was partly hidden by the tree's roots. He lifted it up and muttered to himself,
"Stupid people! Bad luck to you for cutting off a piece of my fine beard!"
Then the dwarf swung the bag upon his back and stalked off without even once looking at the children. Soon afterwards, the mother sent the two children into the town to buy some needles and thread, laces and ribbons. On their way, they crossed a large meadow where huge pieces of rock lay strewn about.
"Look, Snow White, up in the sky, there's a large bird circling around and around."
"Yes, I see it now. Oh, it's landing on that big rock over there. But what's that terrible noise I hear?"
A loud, piteous cry rang out across the field as the two girls ran to where the bird had landed. And there they saw their old acquaintance, the dwarf, clutched in the claws of an eagle.
"Help me, Snow White. You grab one of the little man's legs and I'll grab the other. If we pull hard, maybe we can save him."
Well, the girls tugged and they pulled with all their might. At last, the eagle could hold on no longer and let go of the dwarf. But again, he was angry and ungrateful.
Couldn't you have done it more carefully? You dragged at my coat and pants until they're all torn and full of holes, you clumsy creatures!
Then he took up a sack full of precious jewels and slipped away under the rock into his hole. The girls, who by this time were used to his ingratitude, continued on their way into the town to complete their errand. On their way home, they had to cross the meadow again, where they surprised the dwarf. He had emptied out his bag of precious jewels onto a bare patch of ground where he hadn't expected to be seen. The afternoon sun shone upon the brilliant stones, making them sparkle and shine so splendidly that the children stood and stared in wonder.
Why do you stand there staring at my jewels? Get out of here, you silly minxes!
The dwarf jumped up and down with rage, pulling at his beard and glaring at the girls. Just then, there was a loud growl. Black Bear came running towards them out of the forest. The dwarf cried out in fright and tried to run away to his cave, but he was too late. The bear was already upon him.
Mr. Bear! Mr. Bear, please spare me! If you do, I'll give you all my treasures. Look at the beautiful jewels. Surely you'd sooner have them than my life. Please, Mr. Bear, why do you want? What do you want with anyone as small as I am? Why, there's hardly enough to chew on. Come, take these two wicked girls instead. They're tender and fat as young quails. For mercy's sake, eat them, not me!
But the bear paid no attention to the dwarf's words. With a single blow from the bear's paw, the wicked creature was knocked to the ground and didn't move again. Meanwhile, not recognizing their old friend the bear, the girls had run away too, but they heard a booming voice calling to them across the fields.
Snow White! Rose Red! Don't be afraid! Wait! Let me come with you!
Then they recognized the bear's voice and waited. A moment later, he was standing before them with the bear skin lying in a heap at his feet. He was now a handsome young man, dressed in gold cloth.
Who are you? What happened to our friend the bear? I don't understand.
I'm a king's son. I was bewitched by that wicked dwarf who stole all my treasures. He turned me into a savage bear, forced to wander in the forest until freed by the little man's death. He's finally received the punishment he deserved for all the misery he's caused in the world.
As it often is with fairy tales, our story ends with a wedding. Snow White, who had been the first to discover the gold cloth under the bear's hide, married the king's son, and Rose Red was married to his brother. The great treasure that the dwarf had stolen and hidden in his cave was recovered and divided between them all. As for the girl's mother, she lived peacefully and happily for many years with her daughters in the castle. The two rose trees went with her, bearing the most beautiful red and white roses every year.
It's time to go. Don't forget to tune in again next Sunday, same time, same station, for Aunt Sally's Story Shop. Don't forget, next week we'll select the winners of tickets to the play Peter Pan, which is now showing in San Francisco at the Golden Gate Theater until November 1st. And if you are 12 or under and would like a chance at winning these tickets, send your name, address, age, and telephone number to Peter Pan, care of KTIM, 1623 Fifth Avenue, San Rafael, California, 94901.
And remember to tune in again next Sunday, same time, same station, for Aunt Sally's Story Shop.
Goodbye!
Story Shop is a creation of Gail Whitmire Mills and Lily Iona Susi. The production director is Joel Abrams. Both stories this morning were adapted from the Grimm's Brothers collection.
Take my hand, come with me, where the children are free. Come with me, take my hand, and we'll live. In a land where the river runs free, in a land through the green country, in a land to a shining sea.
You and me are free to be, you and me.